Morning, everybody. Good to be here. Let's open our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Mark chapter 15. If you have need of a Bible, raise your hand good and high. One will be handed to you. I guess everybody does their Bibles on their phones, huh? Y'all aren't playing Skippo. You can download it. Yeah. Yeah, it'll waste a lot of your time if you do download it. So I hear. That's what I've heard. Mark chapter 15. We're getting close. Getting close to the end. This morning's message I've entitled, Making Difficult Decisions. I guess we all have those things that we have to make decisions on. And I want to ask you, are you a person who struggles making difficult decisions? And how to make those decisions confidently? You know, maybe they're big decisions, maybe they're small decisions. But sometimes I think we think too much about the decisions that we have to make. We forget that we just need to make the decision. We just need to truly just put it before God and ask Him. And I know whenever I don't know what to do or what direction to go, I find that I just need to wait a little bit. I just need to trust in the Lord. I mean, I think the enemy certainly does push us into making decisions hastily. And I think the Lord kind of works a little bit more slowly. So I've always believed that if we give it a little bit of time, I think God does reveal it to us. I've also, you know, found in my life, at least in my relationship with God, it's hard to make a bad decision because God's bigger than it. You know, even when you do make a bad decision or the wrong decision, God seems to work it out. I'm thankful for that. Thankful to the fact that he works through my inconsistencies and works out his will anyway, as long as we're open to it, as long as we're willing to be there, you know, because the direction always isn't clear. The decision isn't always crystal clear. Again, some are easy and some aren't so easy. When presented with difficult options, sometimes the choice, again, isn't clear. Sometimes the choice that seemed right at first, later, we know, time tells, probably wasn't the best decision. And those are the things that we have to live with. Those are the things that we have to deal with. So we want to make right decisions. We want to make those difficult decisions. How do we do that? I found this on the internet, and it's that, I don't know what that is. What are the consequences of my decision? And then ask yourself these three questions. 10 minutes from now, 10 months from now, and 10 years from now. You know, the short term, how is it going to affect me? What are the consequences going to be if I make this decision right now? And then, you know, maybe a year from now or 10 months from now, what's it going to look like? And then long term, I mean, is this going to be a decision I'm meant to live with for years and regret for years? I think if we ask those questions, those three tens, that sometimes we can kind of flesh out the answer. And I think will be helpful for us. And as we get into chapter 15, Pilate has a very difficult decision to make, a hard one. Whether or not to send Jesus to the cross, an innocent man, and to let really a criminal set free. Listen, look at this. Sometimes the hardest thing and the right thing are the same thing. See, we don't want to make decisions based on, is it going to be easy? We want to make decisions based on, is it really right? And as I read through this, as I study this week, I really feel for Pilate. Because I believe Pilate struggled. He really wanted to do the right thing. He didn't want to just submit to the pressure of the religious leaders. He really was looking for Jesus to help him in some way to help make this decision easier for him. But in the end, it was a decision that he had to make. Jesus basically said, Pilate, this is a choice you have to make yourself. Nobody can make it for you. I'm not going to help you with it. And ultimately, we know the story. I mean, ultimately, it's God's will anyway, right? I mean, we never want to make a decision that goes against God's will. And so Jesus was ready. He was ready to fulfill the purpose that he had. He was ready to do what he was sent to do. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I make decisions, I wish there was a very clear sign. You know, this is right, that is wrong. You know, God, just give us a sign, right? Well, there's your sign. Go right Which way's right? Go left is right and wrong is left, I guess. No, there are no signs, are there? But I do believe there's indications. I do believe for a believer that there are those things that God reveals to us. And again, you seek godly counsel. You take your time and be patient. Don't make decisions hastily, because many times when we make them hastily, we do end up regretting them. Mark chapter 15 starts out with a very difficult decision that needs to be made, and it's one that Pilate has to decide himself. So read with me, if you will, in chapter 15. We're going to read through the entire chapter, or not through the entire chapter, all the way through verse 20, starting in verse 1. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It is as you say." And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you?" But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd, so that they shouted, he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them, "What then do you want me to do with him who you call the king of the Jews?" So they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole garrison, and they clothed him with purple. They twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. Not truly. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Would you pray with me? Father, we do come to you this morning as we read these scriptures, for some heavy-hearted. Lord, to think that you sent your son to die for us is still, after all these years, very difficult to comprehend. That Jesus, the innocent one, the Son of God, would come and live a perfect life and yet willingly die for us. God, sometimes we can't wrap our heads around it, but God, we thank you that our hearts have embraced it, the truth that Jesus came to save us all. And I pray this morning, as we look at this area of Scripture, that you would speak into our lives, that we would follow your example, that when things got really tough, when things got really difficult, you didn't run, you didn't shy away. No, Lord, you fulfilled God's will, and that is a message for all of us. So when it comes in our lives to making those difficult decisions, may we be still and know that you are God. May we wait for the answer that comes from heaven, and then may we walk boldly in that answer that you have given to us. I pray your blessings upon this time as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the first couple of verses this starts kind of the legal trial. I mean, there was an illegal trial the night before, so the rulers got together that morning and just kind of talked about what they wanted to do. Ultimately, they wanted Jesus dead. But the thing about this time is the Romans had removed the Jews' ability to execute anyone or carry through the death sentence. So they could judge someone and find them guilty of death, but only the Romans could execute that death. So that's the reason why the Jewish leaders have come to Pilate, because now that they've found him religiously guilty, they want them to find him civilly guilty of treason, really, of calling himself a king, which goes against Caesar the king. And so they want Pilate, and they want the religious leaders to execute this Lord, the Lord Jesus. And it's interesting to me in the scriptures, Pilate even knew. He knew that they were trying to trick him into doing this, because he found nothing wrong with them. The hard part for me in verse 1 is that they bound Jesus. They tied him up. You know, what? A day before, he was caught in the Garden of Gethsemane with a bunch of soldiers, they think 600 soldiers, coming to seize him. And what? He willingly went with them. He didn't have to bind them. They didn't have to bind him up. And it's interesting to me that they would even think that they would need to do that. See, Jesus, even when he is bound, he's boundless. Amen? Even when we back him into a corner, if we even could, his will gets done. And I just think it's an amazing picture that Jesus allows them to do it. God himself allows them to do these things to him. I mean, scourge him and spit upon him and put a crown of thorns on him. And he just humbly stays there, saying nothing. At least that's Mark's perspective. And in the other Gospels, it sure does say that Jesus didn't say some things. But in John's Gospel, there's a lot of conversation between Jesus and Pilate. Because, again, Pilate is saying, Jesus, if you could just help me out here, I could probably release you. If you could just, you know, give me an answer or give me a defense here, I might be able to do something. And the lights went out. And it's like, here Jesus is, standing humbly, not saying a word. It ministers to me that Jesus allows them to do what they're going to do, because not because he allows them to do it, but because he's allowing God to do his work in his life. Guys, many times we need to let things happen. I don't want to be that one that's fighting against God. I don't want to push against his will. I just want his will to be done. And sometimes it's going to be painful. Sometimes it's going to be difficult. Jesus submitted to this ridiculousness because he knew it was going to be pleasing to God. For you this morning, whatever decision you're needing to make, whatever choice you have to do, whatever tough thing it is in your life that you need to make, are you focusing on, God, what do you want? God, what do you want? See, when I was younger, I mean, I still am kind of non-confrontational, but there was a time when I would not say a word. When I was a kid, I can't believe I'm going to say this. When I was a kid, my mom would get mad at me or get mad at something my brother and I would do, and she would try to get me to fight back, and I just wouldn't. Didn't like confrontation. And that the more I said nothing, the angrier my mom got. So I really wasn't that great a kid, because I'd really like to see my mom get madder at me for not saying anything. It's like, man, I've just always been like that. I think there's people in the world that just love to fight, love to argue, love to, you know, push back. And I think that's a bad tactic when it comes to God. I always say, you want to complain, complain to God, because he's got big shoulders. But at the same time, be careful who you're fighting with. Don't be a Peter that rebukes the Lord, right? Don't be a Peter that comes and argues with God. See, they bound Jesus, but listen, they didn't need to. They didn't need to bind him. Jesus keeps quiet. Jesus says nothing. And actually, it says here, Pilate was marveled by it in verse 5. But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. So Pilate is the one who decides whether the death penalty happens or not. And Pilate stood before a lot of accused people before. And Pilate's experience had always been, every single person that was accused would fight for their life. Jesus was different. Jesus stood there and took it. Anything that Jesus ever said was not in defense of himself. It was usually accusatory of others. It was usually just not saying, other than agreeing with calling me the king of the Jews, calling me the son of God, calling me the one that was sent by God. Yes, he would agree, but he would never defend himself. In fact, it's in chapter 10. I'm going to read it. I've read it before. Jesus had told the disciples as they were going to Jerusalem, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed by the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. Jesus stands before Pilate, already knowing what's going to happen to him. He's already settled the issue. And guys, for us, I think every opportunity and every day we wake up, we need to say, God, I want to be prepared for what you have for me. To truly be in that place to say, Lord, equip me this day for what's coming up. Because I don't know. Pilate didn't even know. The religious leaders didn't even know what was going to happen. But Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen to him. So he's kind of just standing back going, I'm just watching this movie play out. Because he knows he's not going to change it. And I think sometimes we just need to be ready for whatever God has for us. Be ready. Know that the enemy's going to try and trick you up. Know that he's going to try and aggravate you. Know he's going to try and frustrate you. Because that way he can get you off kilter and he can get off balance. Jesus says to him, when Pilate says, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus says, it is as you say. Or another translation in John says, you are absolutely right, I am. Again, there's that I am statement. Jesus says, yeah, that's me. So be careful, Pilate. Be careful what you do. Again, I feel for Pilate because I do truly believe he was trying to find a way to get out of his situation. And that's, I think, sometimes the most difficult thing for us when we're making decisions. How can I get out of this? Who can I call to help me get out of this? Who can I see? How can I answer this so I don't have to deal with it? Guys, sometimes God wants us to deal with the difficult things. And you've experienced it in your life. When you see God get you through it, you look back and go, thank you, Lord, for helping me. That wasn't it. Do you ever notice that it's not as bad as you formulated it in your mind? Right? It's like, I mean, I remember meetings, I remember, you know, interactions with people. I go, oh, Lord, I really don't want to talk to this husband and deal with the situation they're going. And then after seeing God minister and seeing God's love being poured out, it's an amazing thing. And we think we would learn that when we put it in God's hands, it will work out for the best. Truly. We don't learn from our past. We're always worrying about our future. God, where do you want me? God, what do you want me to be doing? Who do you want me to marry? All these different things, and we're just gotta go, Lord, I want to rest in you. Because Jesus knew exactly what was happening, and if we're followers, we got to put our confidence and trust in him. Write this verse down. Psalm 37, verse 5. One of my favorite verses. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He will bring it to pass. I wear a ring that has that verse on it in Hebrew. Because I need to remind myself of that. That I need to commit my decisions to God. I need to commit my life to God. I need to commit my ways to him. But then the hardest part is trusting him with it, right? If you're like me, I commit it to him, and then I try helping him. That's what the verse says. Commit your ways to him. Trust also in him. I love the psalmist. It writes this, I know you're not going to trust him. I know you're going to try and fix it. Some of the most difficult decisions we have to make is saying, God, I'm going to trust you with this. Whatever way you want, you get. And then the end of the verse says, and he will bring it to pass. There will be a day in the future will come where you'll look back and go, look what God did. That's the beautiful thing about it. Putting it into God's hands. Pilate was absolutely marveled that Jesus sat there and said nothing. The Gospel of John tells us that there was a great deal of conversation and interaction between Pilate and the religious leaders and even with Jesus because he sought to deliver Christ. But in the end, Pilate found out that he had to stand all on his own. Jesus wasn't going to help him. Jesus said, nope, this is your decision to make, man. And actually, Pilate even says, at one point he says, don't you understand I have the power to crucify you? Don't you understand what is about to happen in your life? And what does Jesus say? You have no power whatsoever except for that which God has given to you. Whoa. So Pilate's choice was, what is he going to do with this guy Jesus that just is he's marveled at? And really, guys, isn't that the reality for us every single day? What are you doing with this God named Jesus? I mean, are you committed to him? Are you following him? Are you, staying close to him? What are you doing? What's the decision that you're having to make with Jesus? That was ultimately it. For Pilate, it's like, Son of Man standing right before you. What are you going to do, Pilate? It's a difficult decision. It's a difficult decision. But then it goes on in verse 6 through 15, this next section, where, Pilate actually releases a criminal at the feast time. So here, again, Pilate's thinking, all right, got it. I'll release Jesus. They'll ask for me to release Jesus. No. They want an absolute worst criminal in the prisons at this point to be released. That's how far, that's how deep they were going to go to get their will, to release an absolute murderer. Sometimes the enemy blinds us, doesn't it? I mean, the religious leaders stirred them up. Guys, be careful. When you're moved by the popular philosophy, or when you're moved by the popular crowd, or moved by the popular thought, be careful. Sometimes as believers, we need to stand by ourselves because we know it's not right. Because we know that the conversations these people are having, or the choices that they're making, are contrary to God's word and displeasing to the Lord. And as believers, we can't go with the flow. I would have liked to think there was somebody in that crowd going, does anybody else feel that this is like a bad thing to do? You had to know there was, but they just went with the crowd. This is for believers, this is the hardest thing. Oh, don't worry about being popular. Don't worry about being liked by the world. Be different. Because I'm convinced that when we're different, there's other people there that just want someone to stand up. There's someone in the crowd that's saying, I was hoping someone would have said something. And that's what we need to wait for. And that's what we need to be, the person that stands up. Interestingly enough, the name Barabbas, in the original language, the word bar means son, Abba means father. So Barabbas himself's name means son of the father. And isn't it interesting, the two choices that the people have is between Barabbas, the son of the father, and Jesus, the son of his father, the son of God. I think it's an amazing thing. And this is the power that we have within the word of God, that there were two choices and both were the son of the father. Almost like God had a hand in it. Almost. As I was thinking about this, I want you to think about this as well. The death of Jesus saved the life of Barabbas. I've never thought about that until this week as I was studying it. Even at his trial, even at the beginning of his death, Jesus is already saving people. And Barabbas is probably every single one of us in this room. The worst criminal on the face of the earth. And Jesus died for him too. And Jesus died for us. Jesus was crucified on Barabbas' cross. Whoa. Guys, isn't it true? Jesus died on every one of our crosses. He died on your cross. He died on my cross. The Bible says, pick up your cross and follow me. We all have a cross. But Jesus died on my cross because I put my faith and trust in him. Barabbas is a picture of all of us, the worst enemy, and Jesus died for him. And the thing that gets me about this whole thing is that in many ways, that cross was my cross. And Jesus willingly took it, died on it, took my sins, and took your sins, and the sins of the world, and the sins of Pilate, and the sins of these religious leaders. You want to talk about making a difficult decision? Jesus is going, you guys don't deserve it. But Jesus looked past those people and he looked to the ones that would receive him. He looked to his people. Again, as he's carrying his cross, we'll see it next week. He looks at the followers of Jesus and says, don't mourn. Don't mourn. This needs to happen. Guys, this has to happen for us to have that victory in our lives. And that's a beautiful thing. Jesus died for us. Pilate was a people pleaser. We need to not be people pleasers. See, he wanted to satisfy the religious leaders, and he also wanted to satisfy those followers of Christ. But there was no way to do that. Sometimes when you make a difficult decision, you got to make the unpopular decision. You got to make the unpopular decision. If you try to make everybody happy, do you know who the only person that is miserable is? You. Don't try to make everybody happy. Try to make God happy. Making the right decision has a lot to do with, does it make sense to God? Does it please God, or does it dishonor the Lord? You got to bring those things to him. Let me see. I've got to... Yeah, I already said that. We must strive to make the right decision, not the easy decision. Don't pray, God, give me an easy way out. God, give me the way out. Show me the way out. And then the last thing, verses 16 through 20, as Jesus is being taken to the cross, the soldiers spit upon him. I mean, they scourge him and they mock him and they fake worship him and they just, I mean, talk about a bad decision. Talk about something that you might look back and go, why did I do that? Why did I do that? The soldiers led him away, and they did all these things to him, and I have to continue to remind myself, Jesus died for them as well. The verse at Jesus' death that always gets me is, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. I am so glad that verse is in the Bible. Because I do believe Jesus says that to me all the time. Father, forgive him, he doesn't know what he's doing. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that when we mess up, Jesus is there to defend us? Jesus is there to defend us. It's hard to do the right thing when you're being wronged. Here's Jesus trying to do the right thing, and he's being wronged. He's being mistreated. Have you all seen The Passion of the Christ? Yeah, I mean, it's like, I've never cried tears in my life like that when they were beating on my Savior. It's like unbelievably putting it in a picture breaks your heart. And when we read it in here, it's like, are you kidding me, people? He's an innocent man. Talk about the enemy blinding the eyes and hardening the heart. How do you do that to another human being? Jesus made the difficult decision to die for everybody. Listen, every sinner is eligible for his love. Every sinner is eligible for his love. Every sinner can come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. The worst person on the planet today, if they would humbly surrender to Christ, would find forgiveness. From God, maybe not man. Maybe not even us as the followers of Christ. But God would forgive them. There is no sin you can commit that God will not forgive if you will bring it to him. And I just love the fact. Every sinner can approach him and be accepted by him. Every day we make decisions to follow Jesus or to deny Jesus. They're tough decisions. They're difficult to make. But to make the right one that pleases God is what matters. The problem with making decisions sometimes is we're too busy for them. We're too busy to be bothered with an opportunity. I was helping a friend this week on a project in their home, and we needed some things, so we went over to Lowe's to pick up some stuff. And as we're walking back to the car out in the parking lot, I'm thinking in my mind, I got to get back, got to get this done, I got things to do, got to get out to finish this project. And as I'm walking, there's a car sitting in the parking lot with the hood up, and I can see an elderly woman sitting in the driver's seat. And then it began in my mind and in my heart. I've got things to do. I don't have time for this. And I just tried to rationalize it. You ever do that? Do you ever try to rationalize? A, it's an older woman. I don't want to approach the car. Probably scare her to death. You know what I mean? It's like, and I'm thinking, oh, She's probably calling 8AAA. You know, you just rationalize away it. And I get towards my car, and I'm thinking, all right, God. And I looked at my friend. I said, I've got to do this. He goes, you're going to go help. I go, I got to ask. Approach the car. I'm trying to be as in it, whatever. Do you need any help? And I'm telling you, the look on this woman's face was like, oh, thank God. She's got her phone out. I think she was getting ready to call AAA. She opened the door and she goes, I think I've got a bad alternator. Now, if you know anything about cars, it has nothing to do with the alternator when you start your car. You just need juice in the battery. And I said, well, what's going on? She goes, I have no power whatsoever. I go, well, that sounds like your battery, so it sounds like you need to get jumped. I have jumper cables. She goes, well, I've already tried that. I had somebody come and jump me, but it wouldn't start. And I'm thinking in my back of my mind, it goes, that ain't right. if something wasn't done right, because it should start. And she goes, well, I've got really cheap jumper cables in the back. I said, well, I've got jumper cables. If you want me to, I'll come jump you. So anyway, long story short, was able to pull over, jumped her, got her started. Their face just lit up. Oh my gosh. She goes to reach in her purse to give me $10. I'm like, no, I don't want any money. She goes, please, you just helped me so much. I said, do me a favor. Drive over to Pep Boys with your $10 and buy yourself a good set of jumper cables. And she just, I can't believe you're doing this. I said, I'm a pastor. I like to help people. I didn't tell her the part where I really didn't want to help her. Luckily, it went quick. but it was just, she like, you know, asked me where to pastor. I handed her a card. I said, you better be there Sunday. No, I didn't do that. No, I didn't. She isn't here, so. So much for that good deed. No, I'm kidding. I'm not even supposed to share it with you, so now I've lost my reward. Excellent. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Don't even know your name. It was just, it's those things, the difficult decision, that's a small one, right? That's an easy one. But the difficult decisions are usually, am I going to give up what I want to do? Am I going to give up my decision and do what God wants me to do? You all know this verse. We're going to close with this, and we're going to partake of communion. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served and were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua standing there saying, listen, you don't want to follow God? That's fine. And honestly, nobody can make you follow the Lord. It's a choice that you must make every single day. And I believe when we surrender our will for God's will in our little decisions and the little things, the things that are easy, it teaches us and it trains us to be ready for the bigger opportunities that God gives to us. So really, making difficult decisions isn't really that difficult. It really just boils down to the fact, am I going to do what's right? Or am I going to do what's easy? Easy usually never works out. And so as we enter into this time of communion together, it is that time for us to put before the Lord any decisions that we maybe have. A choice, a career decision, a housing decision, a relationship decision. Whatever that decision, Lord, help me make the right decision. And maybe even in this time as we're remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross, and that our sins are forgiven if we come to him, that we can say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. And thank you, Lord, for helping me in my past. Now I'm, going to commit my way to you, trust also in you, and I'm going to watch you bring it to pass. Help me be still before you, God, so that I can, on the other side, go, thank you, Lord, and say just like Joshua, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. It's not about us. It's not about drawing attention to ourselves. It's about giving all the glory to God. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the scriptures that continually encourage us and cause us to be reminded to serve you, I thank you for men and women like Joshua who said, I'm going to be an example. I'm going to serve the Lord. Because those are the people that we want to follow. Those are the people that we want to emulate. We want to be like Jesus. We want to stand before our accusers and not open a word, not say a word. We want to trust you completely. So God, I ask, as we enter into this time of communion, that you would continue to speak to our hearts, guiding the path before us, illuminating the path before us, so that we would know that we know that we know that this is the way that we must walk in. And let us be bold and confident to walk in that, even though it might be difficult, even though it might be hard, even though it might be unpopular. God, we want to be in the center of your will. And I pray that for every single person in this room. I pray at this time, as we remember what you've done, that our hearts would be overjoyed and thrilled to be thankful for what you've done. Thankful that you took all these things for us, and especially taking our sin away. So bless this time of communion, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.